welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas, was born to a military family, raised in Europe, graduated from Munich International High School in Germany, has a degree in special education from Keene Teachers College in Keene, New Hampshire, taught special education for 10 years, and psychology at the University of South Florida. Kathleen is a 2-time breast cancer survivor, and her book is in press, Surviving Cancer Land, The Psychic Aspect of Healing. She is currently working on her second book, Surviving Recurrence in Cancer Land, The Dream World in Healing. Kathy is an inspirational speaker, phone counselor for R.A. Block Cancer Foundation, and mentor for We Can, a self-help group. She contributes to many online magazines, blogs, and support groups on cancer and women's issues. Kathy is Cambridge Who's Who Registry Executive Professional of the Year 2009-2010. More information is available at www.survivingcancerland.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Kathleen, and I look forward to hearing about your experience with breast cancer. Now, first, you were diagnosed with breast cancer 2 times. How did you find out that you had breast cancer?
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show, Dr. Helvey. And yes, I was diagnosed 2 times with breast cancer. I actually had 3 breast cancers, and they were found each time in my dreams. My doctors had missed my diagnosis. I'd had mammograms and blood tests and physical exams, and each time they told me that I was healthy and to go home, and I would begin to have these prophetic nightmares, intuitive dreams, where my guides, my spiritual guides, would actually come into my dream. And my epic dream at that time, at that moment, would stop, and it would freeze, and time would stand still. And my guides, who were dressed in brown hooded robes with rope belts and leather sandals, would step through this pop-up in my dream, much like a pop-up on a computer. This is difficult to get rid of. And they would say, come with us, we have something to tell you. And they took me into the room that was the room between realms. It's a room that if you're alive, you can enter this room through your dreams. And if you are dead or passed over, you can come back into this room to converse with your loved ones, because we're never alone. And they said, you have breast cancer. Give me your hand. And they took my hand, they put it on my breast, and they said, you go back to your doctors tomorrow and tell them that you need exploratory surgery. It's the only thing that's going to show this. And this is after I'd already been to my doctors 2 other times and already had 2 other mammograms and physicals and blood tests. And I started crying in my dream, and I said, I've already been there 2, and they're not listening to me. If there's something that you want me to do, if you want me to live, then give me something to help me get their attention and get them to give me the tests we know I need in order to live. And I think it's very interesting, doctor, that they didn't say, go find Swami Rami Ramalama Ding Dong. They said, you go back to your medical doctors. So they had faith in those doctors, even though those doctors don't have faith in them. They had faith in them. And so I did. I returned. But before I came out of that dream, one of the guides reached into his pocket, and he took out this ratty little white feather. It looked like something you'd see on your bedroom floor that came out of your pillow. And he handed it to me, and he said, if you go back to your doctor tomorrow, and you use this feather as though it were a sword, and verbally fence with your doctor, and treat him as though he were a judge that doesn't even like you and that you're an attorney, you'll win, and you'll get the exploratory surgery you need. So I did. I returned. And he said, go back without an appointment. Don't make an appointment. So I did. I returned. And my doctor said, why are you back here in the waiting room? And I said, I really need to talk to you. And I went in and I told him that I wanted him to do exploratory surgery. And he was shocked, of course. And he said, I can't do that, Kathy. It's against hospital policy. It's against my policy. We're talking anesthesia, infection, anything could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagined that feather, and I imagined taking it out of my pocket, and I imagined pointing it at him, and I said, I need for you to listen to me. I need exploratory surgery, and you're my last hope. Help me. And it was as though a vampire had come into the room and glimmered him. And
mm-hmm.
he said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he scheduled my surgery, my exploratory surgery, for a week later. And I woke myself out of the anesthesia during the surgery when I heard in my ear his voice say, we got it all, let's close her up. And I turned to him and I said, what was it? And he was shocked. You could just see all these mm-hmm. eyes above the masks, you know, and they're all like as wide as they could be. And the anesthesiologist that was sitting up by my head came up over the top of my head and blocked out the light that was above me and said, did she just speak? And the doctor said, give her more. And he said, Kathy, it's just what we thought it might be, just a fibrostic tumor. You're fine. Go back to sleep. And so when I finally did wake up from all that other extra anesthesia that they gave me, I was extremely nauseous. But when my doctor walked into the recovery cubicle and pulled the little curtain behind him, the privacy curtain, and he said pathology didn't like what they saw when they cut open the tumor. And I said, well, was it cancer? And he said, yes, it was. And now I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to refer you to a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And when he told me that he would schedule the exploratory surgery for me, I said, who's going to do the surgery? And he said, well, I am. You're too young for cancer, Kathy. It doesn't run in your family, and I know what cancer feels like. I'm just doing this because you really, really want it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he was going to have to get an oncologist immediately, as soon as possible, because he had just cut into a cancerous area, and I had cancerous blood surging through my body.
Mm-hmm.
So my dream was validated by a pathology report.
Mm-hmm.
The pathology report knew nothing about my dream, and in my dream, I didn't know that there was going to be a pathology report. I did know that my guides came in and told me I did have cancer.
Mm-hmm. Then I wanted to ask you, what other interventions then did you have, Kathleen, besides the surgery?
Well, since my guides had given me that dream, and they were very sure that they wanted me to return to those doctors,
mm-hmm.
I went with chemotherapy and radiation therapy, but I also did holistic medicine in conjunction with it. And I drank kombucha tea.
Mm-hmm.
I took Epsom salts baths. I drank a lot of purified water. I changed the light bulbs in my house to a very soft pink.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of holistic things because remember, we are a combination of body and spirit. And when the spirit is stressed, the body cries out. And my mother had just died of cancer about 8 months before I was diagnosed, and it devastated me. She was my best friend. I was an only child. So when she died, it left a big hole in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was part of what caused my cancer. But I believe we all have a life destiny. And I remember after the second time I was diagnosed with the cancer, when the chiefs of everybody at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute were following me, I went in for a mammogram, and they said, oh, you're healthy, Mrs. Cannabis, go home. And the guides orbed into the room at that point and said, no, tell them to look right here, right here. And I said, what about over here? And they said, oh, there's nothing there, you're healthy, go home. And it took me 4.5 months to convince them to do an MRI, and I was in stage 4.
Mm-hmm.
So during this time, the guides were basically saving my life. And I said to them after one dream, why is this happening to me? Why is it happening twice? And I'm really angry with God because I don't understand this. And they said to me, this is your life destiny. You decided to do this before you ever came down here. And we told you that we would be with you every step mm-hmm. of the way. Mm-hmm. And we are. We're beside you. And your job is to teach the doctors to listen to their patients again during a time when there's great shift in the medical community. And science is now what's being worshipped instead of a higher power. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be part of the reason this is going to be shifting back. Your story is going to prove that science goes so far, and then comes God.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kathleen, what advice do you have for others facing a diagnosis of breast cancer?
I would strongly suggest that you immediately start a dream journal, because now you need to get into that inner dialogue with your physician within, your inner warrior, all those parts and aspects of yourself that go beyond id, ego, and superego, those aspects that are now going to be working with you to help you get your body as healthy as your spirit and your spirit as healthy as it once was, so that you can be balanced in body, spirit, and mind. And that is a complete healing that we need. We are not only body, we are not only mind, and we are not only spirit. When the body dies, the spirit goes back to where we came before we were born. So a body without a spirit is a cadaver, and that's not what we are down here. We are alive, and we are a combination mm-hmm. of these things. Mm-hmm. So get in touch with your inner selves. Mm-hmm. Work together to create a life that fulfills your dreams. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when our body's breaking down, it's because we are not as happy as we really could be if we woke up enough to live our dreams.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kathleen, from the experience, did it make a difference in your life?
Oh, absolutely it did. It taught me and proved to me, mm-hmm. without a reasonable doubt, with proof perfect, doctor reports, medical reports, mammograms, MRI reports, that we are connected to the greater oneness of the infinite universe, mm-hmm. that ocean of gnosis. We're all just droplets in that ocean, and that our spirit is in constant contact with the spirits on the other side, mm-hmm. and that we have guides. We're their job, and they take their job very seriously. So through dreams, which are the universal language using symbols and archetypes, we can connect with those inner beings that are guiding us and have incredible conversations that can be validated by reports or validations on the earth plane.
Mm-hmm. Then, Kathleen, can you tell us about your radio show, your book, Surviving Cancerland, and any services you offer and how the listeners can reach you?
Certainly. My radio show is Beyond the Five Senses. It's on Blog Talk Radio. And on that show, listeners call in and I help them interpret their dreams. And I validate those dreams because although I believe, mm-hmm. I believe in those guides, I'm the type of person that's always looking for validation. Mm-hmm. And I validate the dream interpretations using my own unique system of reading tarot cards without having a deck in front of me, mm-hmm. using numbers, colors, astrological signs, the elements, all of that combined, to have the person work with their spiritual guides, the caller, the person who's on the line, works with their spiritual guides to choose their own card for that validation. Mm-hmm. And my website, which is www.survivingcancerland.com, has my Pathos blog in the upper right-hand corner that's purple, and you can click onto that, and I download the radio shows onto there as a blog as well. And in the lower left-hand corner is my Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn pages, which are all interconnected, And so if you go to Surviving Cancer Land and friend me on Facebook, I can follow your picture back, and I share to 26,000 people from that page.
Mm-hmm.
My book, Surviving Cancer Land, is now in the hands of a number of large publishing houses through my agent. I'm getting ready to go on a national tour with the Wake Up Women group, and we're going to be starting off our tour in Las Vegas. So if you're listening to this and you'd like to come and join me in person, I'll be in Las Vegas, and you can see the list of tour dates from my website, again, www.survivingcancerland.com. And I do hope that you will put your book that we were talking about on my Facebook page so I can share that.
I will.
Sounds wonderful.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Kathleen. It's been interesting and a different perspective for the listeners, and I wish you continued success in all that you do.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure being on your show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I want to tell you about another great issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. Two stories and musical segments jumped out at me that are connected by the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. As with most of his musicals, the most popular songs require a special voice that is able to hit both the high notes and the low notes. The first article in music is a trailer and music segment from a new movie of Les Miserables, starring Anne Hathaway, Hugh Jackman, and Russell Crowe, to be released in December 2012. The scenes and music, and especially I Dream a Dream, sung by Anne Hathaway, is memorable. The other is a story about Jackie Evancho, a 12-year-old soprano from Pittsburgh, who was discovered on America's Got Talent when she was 10, and who recently released an album of songs from the silver screen. Her singing of Music of the Night from Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera is outstanding. Another article of interest was the interview with Howard Strauss, the grandson of Max Gerson and son of Charlotte Gerson, whose grandfather discovered and used the Gerson therapy for cancer. It consists of an organic, salt-free, fat-free vegan diet with the addition of detoxification, vitamins, minerals, and enzymes. He says plant-based foods will alkalize the body, whereas protein foods, including dairy, will acidify your body and even suck calcium out of your bones. He also says genetically modified foods are useless and lethal, and Monsanto is the most evil corporation on the planet and pays big money to prevent food labeling so they can continue selling unhealthy food to the unsuspecting public. There is much more on the typical unhealthy diet in this article. Other interesting articles include information on a feature-length documentary that leads viewers across continents searching for happiness, information on Proposition 37 on food labeling that failed in California but will be modified and reintroduced, information on the ineffectiveness and suppression of information on vaccines, an interview with Bill Cosby on American Children, and an interview with Glenn Close on her career and her role in the play and movie Albert Nobbs. This is just a taste of the many exciting articles and music in the latest issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Margaret Bermel, lives on Long Island with her husband and cats. She graduated from Marywood University, cum laude, with a BA in psychology and a minor in music. She is an MBA with distinction from Hofstra University, a first-degree black belt, and an avid golfer. She previously co-authored management articles published in scholarly journals and was the co-recipient of the Human Resource Management and Organizational Behavioral Journal's Distinguished Paper Award in 1985. She is the chief financial officer of a large county government department. She is an ordinary person who was called upon to do the extraordinary, overcome cancer, and live to tell the story. Her story can be found in the book, The Cancer Odyssey, Discovering Truth and Inspiration on the Way to Wellness. More information can be found at www.thecanceroddyssey.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Margaret, and I look forward to hearing about your experience with ovarian cancer. Now, first, you were diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2009. Can you tell us how you discovered that you had cancer?
Well, I had a very low energy level, and I had difficulty sleeping, and I just didn't feel healthy. I felt like my body was out of balance, and I went to my doctor, and they had recommended that I have CAT scans and go through all the testing, mm-hmm. and they felt with an ultrasound that I had some growths, and I had had a history of endometriosis, so, you know, there mm-hmm. was some concern there. Mm-hmm. I did have surgery, and after the surgery, during which two tumors were removed, one was the size of a grapefruit and one was wow. the size of an orange, mm-hmm. and after the surgery, the surgeon came into the recovery room, and he bent over and yelled to me, it was malignant, and that's how I found out that I had cancer.
Oh. Then what other types of interventions did you do, Margaret?
Well, after the surgery, I followed up with several different oncologists, and all oncologists recommended precautionary chemo, even though it was stage 1A, mm-hmm. because it was clear cell carcinoma. And as one oncologist put it, this is an especially nasty and aggressive type of cancer. So I was searching, and I did not feel that chemo was the right mm-hmm. Response for me. Mm-hmm. And at my husband's encouragement, I started to research. Mm-hmm. My husband said, let's not be too hasty here. Let's research this.
Good for him.
Yes, and absolutely. Reluctantly, I agreed to research it, thinking that I would quickly and easily find facts to support mm-hmm. Chemo. But quite the opposite was true. The more I read, the more I became aware of the ineffectiveness of chemo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this gave me the courage to reject conventional treatment. So I did decline what's called the standard of care,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is essentially chemotherapy and also radiation and surgery are parts of that, mm-hmm. what's acceptable as the conventional treatment, the standard of care. The fear factor was one of the biggest things to overcome.
Was it?
Because I didn't realize, you know, like most other people, I was going along with my life, and then one day I received this cancer diagnosis, and mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that I had been brainwashed into thinking that chemo was the only solution to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was ready to sign up for it. You're afraid not to. Mm-hmm. When the oncologist says to you, this is what you should do, you're afraid not to follow that recommendation. And it's really, there's no thought process. It's really a knee-jerk reaction. So I was very fortunate that I had a husband who said,
right.
you know, stop.
Definitely.
Let's take a look at this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I did go to, finally, I went to cancer centers, but then I found a wellness center.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that the cancer centers were really focused on the disease and on cancer and on
on the treatment of the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really care about the cause of the disease. And my husband again said, well, if you're not looking at the cause, then how can you look at the cure or the
right.
treatment?
Mm-hmm.
So I did find a wellness center that, and this center focused on health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And it really empowered me. It gave me the permission not to follow conventional treatment, not to accept chemotherapy. The doctor there said, you can do whatever you would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can continue doing what you're doing, which was essentially, at that point, I had started eating organically and mm-hmm. exercising and doing a lot of Reiki and
mm-hmm.
chiropractic and acupuncture, acupressure. And he said, that's all great, and you can continue doing that. If that's what you feel
mm-hmm.
will get you healthy, you can continue doing that. So in addition to that, I started a lot of supplements. I started taking a lot of antioxidants. And these are the alternatives that I felt were the right answer for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you get into any of the mental or spiritual interventions?
I did do a lot of meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, working through, you know, relaxation and, you know, that was my spiritual aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all part of the healing, too.
Right.
Integrate it.
Right.
The whole mind-body connection and the spirituality is a big part of that as well.
Right. Now, when I had lung cancer, I found that everyone was supporting traditional. My mother.
Yeah.
And I think that because people are so ingrained into the traditional, and my mother said, well, why don't you just have surgery, but then do what you want? Besides, being a nurse, my colleagues were all saying, you need to have surgery, but it didn't feel right to me. And so I had a friend that supported my decision like you had your husband. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, very important that people that go against the traditional have a support system of some sort.
Absolutely. I feel that well-meaning family members and friends try to pressure people into going along. Just go along with what the doctor ordered. You know, go along with what the oncologist says. He's an oncologist. He should know what he's talking about. So just go along, don't question.
Right.
But that's the real dilemma because, you know, especially if you have family members and friends who are medical professionals, as you are and you have, then you're really pressured.
Right.
But it's okay to go against the medical advice. You just need to give yourself permission.
Right, right, right. Now, Margaret, based upon your experience, what advice would you have for others regarding prevention and treatment of ovarian cancer?
Well, I think reducing your toxic load is very important. You want to get healthy. You want to stay healthy. Cancer can't survive in an alkaline environment, so you want to get your body very alkaline. You want to eat a lot of greens. You want to do your research now and become educated now. You don't want to wait until a doctor puts you into a fear state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to work through a cancer diagnosis, you really want to try to get your body back into balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's critical. I think that cancer is survivable. I don't believe so much that chemo is always survivable.
Mm-hmm.
I think often it's the chemo that results in the death of a person rather than the cancer.
Right.
So I think the most important message I have to people is ask a lot of questions. Don't just go along. You really need to find the treatment that's right for you, and you really need to question what you're being told.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to become an active participant in your own health care. You know, maybe for some cancers or for some people, chemo is the right approach, but
mm-hmm.
we have to demand that other approaches are available to everyone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People shouldn't have to get on a plane and fly to Germany to get the treatment of
right.
their choice.
Mm-hmm.
It should be available in this country.
Right.
And I feel that we really have to start demanding that the cancer industry, that they do better than they're doing now, because when you have a 3% effectiveness rate of chemotherapy,
mm-hmm.
that's not good enough.
No.
People
mm-hmm.
should be able to go to the doctor and say, cure my cancer, and they should have a reasonable expectation that they'll receive a treatment that will result in health and not result in death.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go to the doctor and say, have him say, well, let's try this and see if it works. You know, we're way beyond the experimental stage of
mm-hmm.
chemo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, chemo has been around since it was developed from the mustard gases of the World Wars, and it's a toxic response to cancer. It's not a non-toxic solution to cancer,
mm-hmm.
but because it's so profitable to the pharmaceutical companies, that's what drives the cancer industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to start demanding better.
Good. Now, is there anything else you would like to say, Margaret, before we look at your book and services and all?
Well, again, I think we really have to focus on questioning the doctors. And my big question was when chemo was recommended to me, my big question was, what else do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was, that's it. We don't have anything else. If you don't take chemo, then I can't treat you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when all the red lights went off in my mind, because I felt that I went to the doctor because I thought he would be concerned about my health, and whatever my choice was, that choice would be supported. But
right.
It was all about the chemo.
Mm-hmm. When they told me that I had to have surgery or I'd be dead in 6 months, I told them, I said, I don't make snap decisions. I said, I go home, I pray about it, I think about it, I make a rational decision. I said, my responsibility is to make the decision. Your responsibility is to tell me the pros and cons of surgery, the pros and cons of chemo. But they thought it was their responsibility to make the decision. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that people need to take the responsibility for themselves, as you did and as I did, and let the doctor give them the information they need. But, of course, I don't think the traditional doctors are going to give them the information about the alternative ways of dealing with it.
That's been my experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
My experience also was that the doctor had told me that if I did not have chemo, that, well, first of all, he said, well, with chemo, you have a 30% chance of recurrence, and if
mm-hmm.
it does recur, you probably won't survive 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have chemo, then the chance of recurrence is higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, well, how much higher? And the answer was higher. I said, yes, but how much higher?
Mm-hmm.
Well, higher. And I couldn't understand why I wasn't getting a straight answer.
Right.
That
right.
statistic should have been at the tip of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason it wasn't was that the statistic doesn't exist.
Right.
Because
right.
there is no control group that measures the outcomes of people who don't choose chemo.
Mm-hmm. Of course, some of the physicians that I know that are doing research now are having much, much higher success rates for stage 4 5-year survival than the traditional. So you probably are not going to hear that from the traditional either. For example, Dr. Forsyth, who wrote a chapter in my book, he's having, I think it's 49% success, stage 4, all types of cancer, 5-year survival, as opposed to the 5% of traditional. So, you know, you're not going to hear that statistic from the traditional. So, Margaret, would you then tell us about your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Carl. As a result of my experience, I wrote a book called The Cancer Odyssey, Discovering Truth and Inspiration on the Way to Wellness. And it's a story that helps the reader work through all the issues that I struggled to work through as I was recovering from my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a pretty extensive bibliography, and as I recovered from my surgery, I was surrounded by books and DVDs and my laptop, going through the internet trying to find answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this for 10 hours each day for the 6 weeks that it took me to recover. So I compiled all this information, and I wrote the book in a short story format.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not very difficult to read through. It's a very user-friendly book, and it's really almost a self-help guide to answers.
Mm-hmm.
I started blogging. As I was writing the book, I was blogging also. My blog is called justsayno2chemo.blogspot.com. I also have a Facebook page called The Cancer Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is available on Amazon. And I just wrote it to help get the message out to other people, because
mm-hmm.
I felt that I needed that help when I was going through the experience
mm-hmm.
Of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The cancer process.
Mm-hmm.
And by finding all the answers that I found, it helped me, and it solidified my resolve to live my life in a healthy manner, in
mm-hmm.
a non-toxic manner, by building up the immune system, by building up the body
mm-hmm.
with a non-toxic approach.
Right.
And that's what I chose. That's the approach I chose. I honor other people's approaches if they have their own choice. Everybody has to make their own informed decision, but I hope that this book can help other people.
Good. Now, Margaret, would you give us your website again?
Sure. It's www.thecanceroddyssey.com.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Well, I appreciate this very much, Margaret. It's been interesting, and I know that it will be helpful for those people who have ovarian cancer and are debating whether to use alternative or what they should do. And so I appreciate this very much.
Thank you very much, Carl. I mm-hmm. appreciate the opportunity as well.
Thank you, Margaret.
Okay.
Claire Petretti, my third guest, completed law school and after practicing law, determined it was not for her. She began practicing and teaching yoga in 1999 and wrote about yoga for Active.com and also set to film workouts for Exercise TV. At the same time, Claire was unexpectedly diagnosed with breast cancer. After finally feeling like she had found her path in life, she was now being torn away and she couldn't film the TV spot due to treatment and surgery. She enrolled in a Prana Yoga Center teacher training program to obtain the Yoga for Cancer Recovery credentials, and upon completion, partnered with Lululemon, Carlsbad, to launch a series on yoga for cancer recovery classes that are now offered weekly. In the summer of 2010, Claire agreed to partner with the nonprofit organization City of Hope to begin the inaugural Yoga for Hope event to San Diego, which had already proved itself a huge success in San Francisco and Seattle. As event chair, she worked with others to organize the event and bring together the local yoga community for this great cause. Yoga for Hope San Diego was a great success and raised over $80,000 for others with life-threatening diseases. She has completed the DVD, Yoga for Cancer Recovery, and is finishing a book based upon her self-written Cancer Journal blog. More information is available at www.oceansoulyoga.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Claire, and I look forward to hearing about your experience with breast cancer. Now, first, you were diagnosed with breast cancer in 2010. Can you tell us how you discovered that you had breast cancer?
Yes, I was actually putting on some lotion after the shower, and I felt a lump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had had a mammogram 3 months before that was clear, and so I was a little concerned and went into the doctor, you know, the following, I know that was a Saturday night, so I went into the doctor on Monday, and it turned out to be cancer.
Hmm. And what interventions then did you use, Claire?
I had two surgeries. They did a lumpectomy and axial dissection, and then they had to do a second lumpectomy. I did 6 rounds of what they call the most aggressive chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did 7.5 weeks of radiation after that. But I also did a lot of complementary care myself. So I did acupuncture around each chemotherapy
mm-hmm.
session.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a yoga teacher, so I taught and practiced yoga and exercised and did a very green, completely plant-based diet as much as possible throughout my treatment.
Mm-hmm. And you feel these were helpful?
I know they were helpful. My doctors were always calling me the wonder patient because I would come in and, you know, I did pretty well. I never got, I think the acupuncture was a huge deal. I never got extremely nauseous
mm-hmm.
around the chemo,
mm-hmm.
Which I credit to that. And yoga helped a great deal as well in terms of, you know, trying to keep some muscle tone and bone loss to a minimum and all of that type of thing and just to manage the stress.
Mm-hmm. Were there other lifestyle changes that you made?
Well, I had to slow down some things. I teach yoga and Pilates full time, and I taught several classes in a heated room that I had to stop doing because I developed lymphedema from the surgeries, and also just the heat did not make me feel very well. So I had to back off of that, and in terms of lifestyle changes, I think things just slowed down significantly.
Mm-hmm. I remember Ingrid Bergman had breast cancer surgery and had lymphedema, and I had read that in her last, I think it was one of her last movies, when she played Gold in My Ear, that she would stay up most of the night exercising her arm so that she could raise it and have the characteristics that Golda had when she spoke. And how painful that it was for her.
Mm-hmm. I am in a compression sleeve pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are so many limitations that they tell you about with the lymphedema and, you know, flying and exercise. And they tell you not to lift more than 5 pounds and, you know, kind of crazy things like don't get stung by an insect. Which I thought was kind of funny, because I was like, okay, Mr. B, sting my other arm instead.
Well, I thought that I read recently, in the last 6 months, that they were now advocating exercise for women that had emphysema. Is that not correct?
Oh, yeah, that is accurate. Well, there's some exercises that are specifically to kind of helps with lymphatic flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually incorporate those. When I was going through chemotherapy, I added a certification to teach yoga for cancer survivors
mm-hmm.
and began teaching other survivors and patients while I was still going through treatment. And part of what I do in these classes that I teach specifically for survivors and patients is some of the movements and the exercises we do are designed specifically to get
mm-hmm.
the lymphatic flow
mm-hmm.
moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, throughout treatment, I think one of the biggest keys was movement and exercise. And, you know, you can't, sometimes I think going through treatment, you can't do what you did before because, you know, just naturally your body's more tired and you're dealing with a lot of assault from some of the conventional medicine. But
you know, even if it's a 15-minute walk, that can make a difference to get your circulation going and everything moving, and I think that helps quite a bit.
Now, Claire, are there things that you have done since to remain cancer-free?
Well, I exercise every day. I have, I ate very healthy, you know, prior to being diagnosed with cancer, but I have incorporated significantly more greens and superfoods into my diet than I had before. So more green drinks and green smoothies, which I think are really important. And, you know, some of my exercises are just a little bit different. I can't do some of the things that I did before because of the lymphedema. Some of the more vigorous forms of yoga that I taught and practiced that, you know, have a lot of time where you've got your full body weight on your arms, I can't really do anymore. But, you know, really diet and exercise and meditation for, you know, to keep the stress down. But I did choose not to not to follow the 5-year of tamoxifen, tamoxifen protocol because it made me feel terrible. So I just am exercising and practicing yoga and eating really clean and green.
Great. Good. Then, based upon your experience, what advice do you have for other women regarding prevention and treatment of breast cancer?
I would say, again, that exercise and diet are probably two of the most important things. I think perhaps changing the attitude or view towards what you eat, as that's our fuel, and taking really good care of your body. And if you put in the highest quality fuel, you're creating an environment where disease can't really flourish. So, you know, if you know anything about the alkaline acid type of diet, so high level of greens, you know, eating really well that way, keep your immune system strong, minimizing stress if possible, and, you know, exercising every day, even if that's just a walk every day. But I think movement and keeping your weight steady and keeping your stress levels down makes an enormous difference.
Claire, you said that you made the decision not to follow the 5-year chemo routine. If you had it to do over, would you go through the surgery, the radiation, and the chemo?
You know, hindsight's 20/20. I would definitely do the surgeries again. I felt very strongly, like, you know, when you can feel a tangible lump that you know is cancer, you want it out of your body. So that I would definitely do again. I went into chemotherapy kicking and screaming, and really, it was at the last minute I decided to go ahead and do it. So, you know, and then my doctors even said, they're like, we don't know, the cancer could have been gone after your surgery. The chemotherapy is really just sort of a insurance. And I don't know how I felt about it. Knowing what I know with some other people that lead really, you know, healthy lifestyles, some other yoga teachers I know who did do chemo as well, I would probably do it again if, you know, in retrospect, but I do feel very strongly that if the cancer were to return again, that I would not do it. That I would not do the chemotherapy again.
Because, you know, that I did all natural when I had lung cancer. And that was 38 years ago. And they gave me 6 months to live without chemo and surgery. But I refused it, and I used all natural. And I'm still here 38 years later. So
that's wonderful.
I think there's so many variables, because I, you know, not only did vitamin B17, which was illegal, but I had pancreatic enzymes, I had supplements, I did prayer, meditation, visualization. I was very optimistic. I didn't think about my cancer. I kept working because I didn't have any side effects. So I think there's so many variables that cannot be controlled when one does research that it's very difficult to, you know, do cancer research because there's many, many variables and there's many unknowns. So what may work for me might not work for someone else.
You make a really good point, though, and that's, you know, kind of with the exercise and diet and the meditation is the optimistic attitude. And I think that's everything. Staying positive and staying as engaged as you can makes a big difference. I kept teaching as well. I mean, I had to adjust my schedule a little bit, but mm-hmm. I was in my yoga classes with my bald head teaching, you know, and these were ones that I was teaching to athletes in my regular classes, not, you know, mm-hmm. not simply mm-hmm. the cancer therapy ones. And I think trying to maintain some areas where your life feels normal and you're not mm-hmm. thinking just about yourself.
Right, I agree.
That you're sick is huge.
Right. And I was also doing yoga at the time. I don't know, but I was then. And I think there's been some research on the value of yoga for people that have cancer. I've read that recently. Right.
There's actually been a great deal of research. There's been several studies, and in fact, the DVD that I released last year, my Yoga for Cancer Recovery DVD, my oncologist actually recommended it on the back, but UCSD Moores Cancer Center in San Diego, they got several hundred of them for an energy study mm-hmm. that they were using for about 250 women mm-hmm. to incorporate the yoga into their recovery. And, you know, so there's more and more study
right.
about mm-hmm. how that can help because, you know, and the yoga includes what you were saying, the meditation, mm-hmm. the visualization, the positive
affirmations. Right.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, definitely.
Then, Claire, would you tell us then about your DVD, your yoga services, and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes, I teach classes locally here in San Diego every week for cancer survivors, and then I have a DVD entitled Yoga for Cancer Recovery. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what's great about it is that I have five other survivors with me in the DVD, and they range from 32 years old to 69 years old. Patty, who's our 69-year-old, a stage 4 colon cancer survivor for the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's in there with some of the younger women. So everyone has someone to identify with in the class. There's a 60-minute full class or an option to do just a 30-minute relaxation meditation. And the DVD is available on my website and on Amazon. And my website is oceansoulyoga.com. And that is available there. Mm-hmm. I also have just completed my memoir based upon the blog that I kept throughout my treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually shopping that around now. So hopefully that'll be out soon for people. Because the blog that I kept, I had so much feedback from people that I knew, and then it really spread, and people that I didn't know, telling them that sharing the experience helped them a lot. So
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to do that again. You know, and if sharing helps other people have a little bit of an easier time, then that's fantastic.
Right. Well, great. I appreciate this very much, Claire, and I wish you the best and for your continued success as a survivor. And I, again, appreciate your taking the time to share your information with us.
Great. Thank you so much for asking.
Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my website where you will find all of the past shows at www.holistichealthshow.com and also to my website www.beatlungcancer.com. I also invite you to my Facebook pages, Holistic Health Show and Beat Lung Cancer. I hope you will like my pages. I thank you for joining me today, and I wish you a very Merry Christmas. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.